All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight. In particular, tomorrow night is the annual NBA draft. The Indiana Pacers holding the 11th pick overall in the first round, of course. No movement yet on that pick or moving it around, but they've done a little wheeling and dealing over the years, so we will see. They have the 43rd pick, which is, of course, a second-round pick also that they can play around with. And news today out of Indianapolis, although this has not been made official, this is according to a league source, David West will not be exercising his player option to return to the Indiana Pacers. So that leaves a little bit of a hole in the roster, but also a recovery of about $15 million worth of salary and salary cap availability to the Pacers. So not a lot of long-term contracts on this Pacers team right now. Paul George, luckily, is signed up for at least the next 3 years, possibly four with a player option. But David West, and I'm sorry, it's actually $12.5 million for David West. Roy Hibbert's $15 million. But David West apparently will not be exercising that option. Of course, remains to be seen if he'd return to the Pacers, but that is very doubtful by taking that action. So, Glassy, Larry Bird has talked about getting, he hasn't said specifically getting younger, but he has certainly said getting faster, getting quicker, wants to play a more up-and-down game, does not want to be stuck in a half court, does not want to be stuck with, quite honestly, a guy like Roy Hibbert in the center of the team most of the time, a guy that's a little bit more stationary. He wants to get up and down the court. He sees that as the future of the NBA. David West, that's not exactly his game. I like David West, but this certainly looks like he's helping turn the corner here for the Pacers. But the question, of course, is what do you do for a veteran presence then? What do you do for the production of David West? He was a nearly double-double guy every night. He's gone probably at this point in time. Roy Hibbert's being marginalized just by the way they want to play. All that kind of comes to a head tomorrow night with the draft, but clearly that's not where it's going to end. If you're Larry Bird, are you looking to replace Roy Hibbert? Are you looking to replace David West? Are you looking to solve the fact that you don't have what you'd consider a true point guard? Are you looking to get more up and down and get more speed and athleticism out there? There's a whole ton of questions here
at
this point.
I think the answer to all of them is yes. If the new philosophy is changing to get faster, to get quicker, to get more shots up, well, you've got to get people that are faster, quicker, and can get more shots up and hopefully make some of them. And the one thing the Pacers' problem has been the last couple of years has been injuries. That's been part of it. And I understand most NBA teams go through that. But to the level the Pacers have, it's almost been crippling to the sense of their performance on the floor. You're asking a lot of guys whose roles they were brought in to be were gap fillers, and then those guys were second and third options on the court. And it really shows you what a job they did last year just to get it to where they got it to down the stretch. And if you move forward, you're going to have to change in some ways. And David West forced their hand. That's the good news. Candace Bruckner, she's the Pacers beat writer, tweeted 2 minutes ago that it's official. So two league sources, he's not picking it up. So that's it. He's gone. No sweat. What it does is take his money off the books. What was that, about $11, $12
million? $12.5 million.
Well, that's really easy to fix right away. Mm-hmm. That's two guys at six. It's one really solid guy at 10. It's a deal where, looking forward, I don't know how they can smash that square peg into a round hole. I'm not a capologist. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I am.
Let's start with David West. I mean, losing David West, is that a good thing for this team?
No, it's not, because he's a veteran locker room guy who didn't take any crap from anybody.
And he was pretty productive. Yeah. I mean, on both ends of the floor.
And obviously the Pacers weren't going to him and saying, here, we'd love to extend you.
Right.
That's not the case, because they look at him every day. They look at him every day training. They look at him every day in practice. They look at him every day in rehabbing. So I don't think David West in a situation could do that, and he could be productive. But what David West is looking out for is, if David West can get 3 years, $17 million somewhere, that's better than 1 year, 13, because 17 is more than 13 or
that's
whatever.
That's how that works.
Yeah, how it works. They're all guaranteed contracts. And that's the part of it that that the Pacers. But I think he did the Pacers a favor by doing this before the draft, so this could help push them in that direction if they already weren't going that way. But again, he saw the writing on the wall. As for the Pacers, what does it take away? It takes away a locker room presence. There's no doubt about it. If there's one thing that's been kicked around this team over the last couple of years, it's been quote-unquote toughness. Perhaps not on the court, but in other factors of the game.
Yeah.
If there's any, if there's a scrap on the for the Pacers in the last couple of years, Scola or West were in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
That's what you want your 6'9" power forward to do. Because not a lot of guys are going
to
mess with him.
He was the closest thing to an enforcer they had.
Exactly right. He can handle the bigger guys. He had no problem picking on guys his size or smaller. And you need that. You need that edginess in a player. You don't need a guy that gets 19 technicals a year. That's part of the job that comes with it. I get it. But that wasn't West's only job. West was a pretty good find in the free agent world. Remember.
Absolutely.
Not a lot of teams were into David West when he was a free agent because he had knee problems with Charlotte or with the New Orleans Hornets.
Right off it, yeah.
Wait, New Orleans. What, they're the Pelicans now. They were the Hornets then. So it's not technically incorrect. But that was the issue when the Pacers got him. So it was I don't want to call it the damaged good era, but he worked out to be fantastic for the Pacers. And there was an interesting tweet I saw today about why the draft is so important for a team like Indianapolis. Because they're a mid-market team, this is where they have to hit it out of the park. Because not a lot of guys like Kevin Love, who just opted out in Cleveland,
it's not a huge
are going to start looking
star
at it.
Destination. So
right, and that's what made David West even more valuable because they got that contract right. They also got Lance Stephenson right, so let's give him some credit for that as well. But the Pacers, moving forward, it's hard to replace guys. Scola was like that. Where's he at? He's done too, isn't he? Isn't he?
He's off the books, but I have not seen where
he's an unrestricted free agent. None of this is going to happen until July 5th, whenever that moratorium ends. You go through the draft, and then there's 10 days to get everybody's books set up and ready to go, and then the cap comes out, and then all these deals will be made in 3, 4, 5, 6 days leading up to that point. But then
there's not a lot of contracts on the books at this point in time, according to this website I'm looking at. Paul George has got 3 years with a fourth year player option. Roy Hibbert has a player option, but I have not heard if he's picked that up or not. I imagine he will.
Hibbert, their agents have said no. He's not saying anything, and they don't have to tell you.
I imagine he'll pick it up, but we never know. George Hill has 2 more years at $8 million. CJ Miles has 2 years and then a third player option. Ian Mahimi has 1 year. Solomon Hill has 1 year and some options after that. Damian Rudez has a year and an option. That's about it. So, I mean, there's all kinds of flexibility with this roster, but I'm not sure that's a great thing when you're looking at a team that was already struggling, as you said, struggling through injuries. It's got a couple guys it's going to stick with in Weston or in George and George Hill at the very least, and CJ Miles is apparently around.
They have to stick to anybody that's under contract. That's how it works in the NBA. You can't waive a guy like the NFL and just take the cap hit. Pritchard met with the press this morning and shed some lights on the plan. So there are 4 or 5 guys they'd be happy to land. Roy Hibbert has until Monday to exercise his option and remain in Indiana through the 15-16 season. In that press conference, Pritchard said he had not spoken to West or Hibbert in the offseason. Now he's got the West decision. That was earlier this morning. So there it is. They didn't think that Hibbert was going to give them any help after everything that Bird kind of talked about there. They don't think he's going to move up his timetable to help the Pacers in any way on that. If he stays, he's going to make a ton of money. And all these guys are working behind the scenes to figure out, hey, if my guy doesn't opt here, you got something for him? So guys are working the back channels to make sure they have something and somewhere to land. So that'll be interesting to see where you think Hibbert stays until somebody is silly enough, because it is the NBA and these contracts happen all the time, and somebody goes to Hibbert, yeah, we got 324 laying around, and he's got 115 or 116. He's getting $8 more million. You got to take the money and run, and the writing's on the wall. Do you need a lumbering big guy in the NBA anymore? I don't know if you need him on your first team.
Larry Bird has already said that that's not what they want.
And they'll give him a chance to play through
it. It's not their choice.
It's not going to be their choice. And Monday that deal will come down.
We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. More NBA draft and the Pacers in particular when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. What do the Pacers do tomorrow night? David West has declined his player option for next season, so he is an unrestricted free agent.
Turns 35 in August, and $12.6 million left on the table. So obviously he wants a little bit more than that, two-year deal, three-year deal, something that he'll be in a system. I think he'll fit just fine, but obviously not at that rate. Guys don't stay with their teams and take less money for something that, loses, I guess, ego, that loses something in the dressing room. But yeah. They'll go somewhere else, no problem, for 3 years, $21 million or something like that. But they won't stay here in their own
Does
place
the team
to
really
do it.
Want him until he's 38?
That's the question. That's the issue. And the issue simply is the Pacers have any – they can more than happily re-sign him if they'd like to do that, but – that's an option now. The option they will not have is paying him $12.6 million for 1 year. And that's good for everybody, it sounds like,
well, he probably
including
could,
David West.
But why would they bother at this point?
Well, he wouldn't take that deal, I wouldn't think. So well, yeah. So there you have it.
So now. We'll see on
35
that.
In August. That's a big number. And I want to remember West from 2 years ago, not last year, when he was playing hurt the last 3 months
no,
of the season.
No, he was banged up.
And he can shoot a jumper. He grabs plenty of rebounds. He's mean. He's good in the locker room. He will find a spot in today's
4 years
day and age.
As a Pacer, 13, 17, 14 and 12 were his points per game the last 4 years, starting at the beginning of his career and going forward, just short of 12 last year. Right around 7 rebounds a game all 4 years. I mean, it was solid production all the way around, and I think you hit on the real key for this team, and maybe it's got a little bit of this coming back anyways, but it was veteran leadership. I mean, Paul George is not that guy just yet. Maybe he grows into that in the next year or two, gets back healthy and has kind of grown up a little bit, but he was kind of the dopey youngster in the locker room himself too.
The young guys
he wasn't
dopey.
Lance Stevenson dopey, but he was and you know a little out there.
Well, the whole point was who stood up to Stevenson, who checked Stevenson. I'm not sure the answer to that question, but wouldn't be surprising if it was David West. Yeah. I mean, there were some issues going on in there, and Stevenson's gone. Hibbert, soon to be gone. We'll hear his decision Monday. There's no way he's staying, I wouldn't think. His agent, David Falk, it's been reported via Twitter that they're not going to make any public announcement, period. And neither are the Pacers today. After their final press conference, they go in with the 11th pick. And they're obviously not showing their hand. They did the dance about, hey, we've had 100 calls for this. We've worked out 100 guys for this. We've got to be prepared. But the most interesting thing, Dave, you're asking what the Pacers look. Well, here's what Pritchard said this morning. Pritchard analyzes the strong depth of this year's class by a tier system. Tier 1 players are defined as superstars. Tier 2, consisting of talent who could immediately become rotational players, then future starters. It is Pritchard's belief that number 11, the Pacers, will be a Tier 2 guy. And his confidence appears to be shared around the league since the Pacers have entertained overtures for this pick. Pritchard said this morning, yes, and we are not afraid to trade the pick. We've heard a lot about interest. There's interest in 11. So take your fishing pole, whiz it in Lake Monroe, make sure there's some bait on it, and there you go, because that's how the game's played. So, again, there's a reason they brought in 36 guys. He even said it was too many, but they've got three or four on the top of their mind. But how this always goes, outside of the first two picks, which are going to be Karl Anthony Towns and Jahlil Okafor, things will shuffle. Mm-hmm. Things will get changed around. And if guys trade up in front of them and move to do this and say, wow, we didn't think that was going to happen, maybe a tier one guy drops in their lap. That's the fascinating part of the draft, because it is a fluid situation that's going on right in front of you. And I think that makes it interesting. He wrapped up his press conference by saying, you get to draft at the level, the best player you can, because in a small market, it's your only chance to get special. We're not a complete draw for free agents. We're not the New York, and we're not the L.A. So to get the special, you've got to try to get it in the draft. You know what's interesting about that statement?
That's not a trading back statement.
That is a,
that's a trading up statement.
That
is
a statement that is interesting, because the Pacers have never moved up greatly to get into that. So you talk about new philosophy, new game playing. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds a little new as well. I also read earlier this morning that Bird has the final say in this, that you can have all the research information you want. If he gets an itch behind his ear and says, we're taking the goofy kid from Fresno State, they're taking the goofy kid from Fresno State.
Good or bad.
Well, and as we know, it's a brand new day. So the Pacers either have a wonderful smokescreen trying to flush West and Hibbert out of town, down, or they have a wonderful smoke screen because that's how the game is played, trying to say, hey, look, well, maybe the Pacers are going to take a guy that's an up-tempo shooter, big-time guy, because that's a new offense they're going to go to, puts that in the mind. Hey, we'll trade the pick, too, if anybody's listening. And then they go in and wrap up the press conference by saying, oh, and by the way, the only time we get a big-time player is in the draft because our free agent hands are a little bit tied. So short of saying everything, well, they have. Yeah. So you can pick any angle you want, and that's what you do on the night before the draft because there's too many fluid parts. There's too many fluid motions. The question I would have for the Pacers is, for Larry Bird, will be, is it best player available, kind of like we saw at the Colts, or is it going to be a guy you have to have? I think if they trade up, it's a guy they have to have,
well,
and
sure,
if they stick at 11, they'll hope it falls to them. But I don't know, with Paul George being signed up, I don't know with George Hill, you said two more years.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that foundation where you can mortgage a couple guys in the future and get that one player's got to be awfully, awfully good because the Pacers don't have that David
West.
I don't
know what they're trading it up there.
In Roy Hibbert.
That's the point.
It would be future picks. It would be contracts to get off the books if they have any of those, which I don't have
but
in front
really
of me.
They don't really have.
Well,
I don't know who that is.
I mean, it won't be West now. It won't be Hibbert now.
It's not Paul George. George Hill.
The other good news will be the Pacers, once Hibbert leaves on Monday, which I would hope that would be the case, that frees up $29 million.
Sure.
$29
sure.
million.
You got to go spend it. Well, let's look at it this way. 333-2665 is a phone number. Let's say they've got
a three-way sign and trade type deal because they need the money to move in, they have the cap space, and they send him to the next team.
Let's keep it simple for now.
Well, let's
keep it simple.
I don't think it is. That's the point.
You've got David West.
Not anymore.
Is leaving. You've got Roy Hibbert possibly leaving. Either way, you don't want him. You've pretty much said you don't expect him to be in the middle of your offense and defense going forward. So here is your hole at the five position. Here is your hole at the four position. You come back with Paul George and George Hill in some combination of whatever you've got left at this moment. And maybe you've got feelers out there. You're trying to figure out what you're going to do. I'm sure they do. But you look at the 11th pick in the draft. If you're going to pick to solve or help solve an issue that you've got right now, is it a true point guard? Is it a center? If you're going to get up and down the floor, it's got to be a guy who can move. Is it a guy that has to have some offense to him? Is it a four that can help you rebound, that can help you score? These are the things you're losing. You're losing a rim protector in the half court game. So what do you see at the 11 position that helps you solve any of that? What I see is I see guys that, at least to some degree, can score. Now, whether they all fit into the way you want to do things or not is another question, but I think that you got a lot of guys there that have the potential to score out there. The name that's always been thrown out there, and it's because Larry Bird brought him up a long time ago, is Willie Cauley-Stein. Again, help me with Willie Cauley-Stein. I know this is a good athlete. I know this is a really good athlete
at
big size.
No, he's a supreme athlete.
But
there's the difference.
I hate to say, is he an NBA player? I think he's going to be successful. But is he a one-tool? Is he a get up and down the floor, but he's a defender mostly?
Did Anthony Davis score any points in college his freshman year when they went to the national championship and won the game? Wasn't he the most outstanding player with 4 points, 23 rebounds, and 11 blocks?
Well, I don't think he scored no points, but he wasn't a 20-point-a-game guy.
He's getting 28 a night in the league now.
Sure.
Well, the point of the matter is guys that play for Calipari and Kentucky can't be limited in a situation like that because he has so many other talents to play. Why do you like Cauley-Stein? He's big. He's fast. He blocks shots. He's get-out-of-the-gym athletic. Now, he might not knock down 18-footers like David West. Can he grow into that? I would think so. Larry Bird called him a $100 million player. And if Larry Bird's throwing that around,
well,
that's fine.
Yeah, we don't know what's a smoke screen anymore.
Larry doesn't bat a million, but I think the effort you saw on the play with Cauley-Stein running down the court 84 feet dead sprint to put the shot off from Jerry and Grant in the Notre Dame game told you everything about his effort, his athleticism. He didn't foul him, so it tells me he's a little bit – he knows how to play defense, and he was all defensive everything in the SEC forever, rebounded and blocked shots for fun. That's a guy whose skill level translates because he doesn't need to score. Can he? Yeah, he's probably going to be a supreme garbage man around the hoop. But he's not going to need the ball 20 shots a game like some of these other top picks might think they have to. So Willie Cauley-Stein, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, I think it's a perfect glue guy if you're looking to get that change of up-tempo, if you're looking to get minutes at the 4/5. I think he's 7 foot.
He's 7 foot tall. That's what
And he runs like an absolute gazelle, and he jumps out of the gym. Not a lot of he's the antithesis of Roy Hibbert. Mm-hmm. Hibbert's got him by an inch or two in 60 pounds, and Cauley-Stein's the track athlete who can play basketball as well.
Well, he fits what Larry Bird has said they want to do.
He does, and he does, and he does, and he does. Is he the pick? I don't know if he's the pick, because if he goes the pick before them, well, then obviously he's not the pick, and I don't think Cauley-Stein's the guy you trade up for. I think he's a guy, if it falls in your lap, you're like, wow, this is great. You want an offensive player, Kaminsky jumps off the page. I don't know if you can get him at 11. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you can move to get up to get him. Obviously, the 43rd pick will be thrown in there, because second round picks in the NBA draft
don't mean much.
Well, a lot of teams like to play with him, and a lot of teams value him to a degree, but the Pacers just haven't had a whole lot of success with those picks, either on the court or off the court. So you want the big guy angle or the best player available angle, then you start wondering, why is he dropping? Why is he getting to 11? So you nitpick through all that.
Well, we've heard he's got ankle and knee injuries potentially, and again, one link I saw said he might have the same sickle cell trait that we've heard about around here recently, and we've got a little experience, at least in Bloomington, and seeing what that does from a production standpoint. It was big yardage.
Yep.
But it also took you off the field a little bit, and if you're sprinting up and down the basketball court, I'm not a doctor,
from
so I can't state that. But
from a defensive angle, Cauley-Stein would have made more sense for last year's Pacers, the Pacers the year before that. From an offensive,
when you're rebuilding, I agree with you completely. I look at it and I think, Willie Cauley-Stein, does he immediately solve one or two things for the team
yes.
but leave open questions? And are there other guys that can be more versatile? That's the question.
He'll
I
be
have
better
that
than Jan Mahimi, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, that's
well. There you go.
Too tough.
Well, it is tough, and here's why. Once on the clock, Bird informs the team of his decision. Then Carr, the assistant, will phone the name into Silver. Only once does Bird recall making a last-second pick. It was 2009, and the Pacers had the 13th selection. Bird could not decide between Ty Lawson and Tyler Hansborough. In the final ticks of the clock, Bird ultimately went with his gut and picked for size. He chose Hansborough. Lawson went 18th just before Teague, mm-hmm. Jeff Teague, All-Star at 19. We were rebuilding. We were changing the culture, Bird recalled. I went with the guy who was going to come in and bust his ass every night. Well, you know, it is what it is. So,
well, we've talked about that. They needed a point guard that year too, and we lamented that at the time. But
Hansborough
wasn't
the first time.
Hansborough
I've ever
looked
heard
like
explain
a
decision.
Solid enough guy. He just wasn't that exciting at 13.
That's the first time I've ever heard why he's made that decision. Yeah. So that's what's going through Larry Bird's head. And again, tough ones come down to this. This one should be a tough one as well, as we heard Kevin Pritchett say. Tier one guys and tier two guys. A lot of chatter for the pick. A lot of chatter about who could fall there, and they've got four or five guys they'd sure like to have at that spot. What else are you going to say? We got no chance. This is terrible.
We got nothing. Got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is your phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Thanks to Williams Brothers Healthcare Pharmacy, a family-owned business offering personalized expert advice on a wide range of pharmacy services. 574 South Landmark Avenue, Williams Brothers, committed to creating customers for life.
333-2665 is our phone number. Quick programming note, we got Reds baseball. Got them right after the show tonight, 7 o'clock. Also tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, as they are in Pittsburgh. Then they move over to New York to face the Mets on Friday night. We'll have them 7 o'clock then also. And then open wheel racing Saturday, 4 o'clock for the pre-race coverage of the Fontana 500. 333-2665 is our phone number. Looking at the NBA draft, David West for the Pacers has declined to pick up his player option for next season. So that takes about 12.5 mil. Off of next year's books. We'll see what the Pacers end up wanting to do with that. Clearly, they can use some size at this point if you're looking at Well, we are including Roy Hibbert for now, but it remains to be seen whether he will pick up his option. We expect he may be gone after after that transaction is done. So they just don't have a whole lot of size. Jan Mahimi is the guy at this point in time with any size on that team. Paul George is, of course, a 6'8 guy, but he's not going to be banging too much under the boards. Luis Scola is not on salary at the moment. Solomon Hill, well, a big guy, 6'7", 6'8", debatable.
No, he's around. 2.5, 3.5.
But, yeah, he's more of a wing.
Well, what do you need now? What do you need? You got to fight LeBron now for the next however many years. That's what you're looking at. So you got to find someone, A, who can kind of guard him, because nobody can guard him. I mean, would they hold him to 38 points a game in the NBA Finals?
Paul George was an awfully good defensive player when he was playing, even when he was scoring points.
There is the box of worms, the Pandora's box of uncanned worms that nobody can put a number on. When is Paul George going to be 100% again? Is it next year? Is it the year after that? Yep. Do the Pacers have 2 years to put this team together? Do they sit on this cap money? You can't do that and get anybody in the stands, by the way. You can't go out and win 13 ball games next year because you're bringing back Paul George
slowly.
Roy Hibbert
and David West were not the most exciting guys in the
world. Doesn't matter.
But
the
Pacers fans know what they meant.
The 2 years before that, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's all you had to know. And when everybody was coming back, then George does that, has a tragic leg injury. Well, we'll see what George comes back. The good news is I have plenty of money to find someone to play with him. It's just, there's going to be one guy. There's going to be two guys. There's going to be four guys. And that's where you have to hit the draft. The draft has to be that because you, in the NBA draft, there's a sliding scale. You pay that. There is no negotiation. Why is that important? They can't nail you. You draft, if you go all free agency, it's whatever the market puts out. When you get a guy, if he's at number 1, number 8, number 28, there is a set money amount for him that comes with the contract. So for the next 4 years, you get a guy at $2.5 million, not a guy at $8.5 million, or not a guy at $13.5 million, or whatever Hibbert's making on that deal. So that's the huge importance of why that's going to be. So this goes to my angle. If you want a young and up and coming guy, it's really nice because you're only putting $2.5 million in him. But on a team that has as many gaping holes as this, you kind of want a guy that can get you that tier two guy, like Pritchard mentioned, a guy who's going to be a rotation player who's going to start in a couple of years. That, again, because you only have to pay this much. Not every year the Pacers are going to have $25 million come off their books.
That's right.
And it's not going to happen for a couple more years. That's what George Hill's deal comes off. The Pacers don't even have any guys to talk about contracts expiring. The cupboard's thin. Something's going to have to give. Something's going to have to move. And if it's best player available at this time, you are thin enough where that makes sense because there are so many options to cover. It's not like the Colts where you scratch your head and say, well, you got 19 wide receivers. What's a 20th one? That's kind of weird. This is different. You've got a completely empty front court.
Yeah.
George isn't a front court player, folks. Yeah. He's a two guard. That's what it is. You've got C.J. Watson, or C.J. Miles, rather, 6'7". Again, three at best. He's not a four. He's never going to be a
not
four.
A front guy.
You've got George Hill out there. You've got Donald Sloan's talking about perhaps coming back. He showed some flashes last year. It's fine. You need some guys like that. But when you lose Scola, Hibbert, and David West up front, that's three rotation guys that give minutes
absolutely.
Every night. So the good news in the NBA, there's always somebody looking for free agent work, and the Pacers are going to have a ton of cash. It's just going to depend on what level of cash they want to spend. And we've seen over the years, you know, Luis Scola didn't make your jaw drop. He was an awfully decent performer when he was here. He gave you exactly what you needed.
Somebody on the bench. We said this. He's going to be part of the second team, and he's going to possibly be a leader of that.
The
and
million,
I thought he was awfully good at it.
The million-dollar question is, who else is going to bring consistent scoring night in and night out? And do you find him in the NBA for that $7, $8, $9 million a year? Or do you got to get up into the 14-15s and put somebody next to Paul George? The Pacers have shown over the years they will not go over the cap. So they better get the draft right, and they better hit some free agents right, because if Paul George doesn't get back to 100%, Dave, how many years do you say left on that contract? Five?
Three and a player option for the fourth.
Okay, so that's what you're tied into.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to take damaged goods off your hands.
He was playing by the end of the year.
Whether he was playing worth, by the end of the
whether
year.
Whether he's worth $16.5 million, almost $17 million
he wasn't
year, not
signed on. He wasn't signed off being injured. He was signed off an unbelievable season where he had the Pacers within two possessions of the NBA Finals. That's the Paul George you hope that comes back. If he's not back, and guess who's not going to know that? Nobody. Nobody's going to know that. So do you surround him with scoring, or do you put more pressure on him to play 39 minutes a night because he's the only guy who can get a shot? It's a very, very touch-and-go situation here. I'm excited to see what the Pacers are going
to
do.
Well, back real quickly to Willie Cauley-Stein. I know you love him as an athlete. You mentioned the comments by Pritchard. Looking for that tier one guy. Is Willie Cauley-Stein a tier one guy?
He's not. Because he doesn't change the game in a way defensively that you would hope that tier one guy would be. Tier one guy means all-star. I think Cauley-Stein's going to be good. I don't think he's going to be. Cauley-Stein is going to be better offensively than guys like me think. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's Anthony Davis. That's what a tier one guy is in Pritchard's definition.
I would think so.
So if he's a tier two guy that he can give you big minutes, if he's an energy guy, that's great. I think if
is that good enough for 11?
I think if the Pacers want to move into the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference, they're going to have guys that can score. It's a scoring league. I bang on this all the time. And the first thing you think about with Willie Cauley-Stein is he's not a guy that can score freely or hasn't shown it. How many years did he play at Kentucky?
Three, if I remember.
You remember him getting 20 a game?
That's just it. He never scored much.
Team concept bought into it.
They have it, but we haven't seen it.
Again, is the angle they want. We have nobody in our front court. We have to get somebody.
We got to get something.
This guy can at least run. He can block shots. He can rebound. We'll start there and then take our free agent dollars and buy an already polished NBA scorer to fit that position. That makes more sense to me.
That's where I was heading.
That makes sense.
The thing that's probably the easiest to digest with this is not – I mean, look, he's a nice-looking player. I'm not going to say he's going to be a disaster.
He's not Karl Anthony Towns,
but if you bring in a guy who's going to be, to be fair, a garbage guy, a hustle guy, a guy you can count on in the ways that aren't the star ways, then maybe it looks – makes the Pacers look a little bit more interesting to potential stars who they could actually spend that money
on. And you look at look at Cleveland. Can he run Cleveland center off the court? Yeah. Can he run Gortat off the court in Washington?
Sure.
Yeah. Can he run Antich off the court in Atlanta and Horford? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is value to that. It's not that he has to score 20 points a night, but you know what? The motor he has, and as athletic as he's around the bucket, he's going to get a lot of those points, and he's going to get a lot of those rebounds. I think at the NBA level, how many guys come in, Kobe, LeBron, Garnett, whatever, those guys out of high school didn't come out and light the NBA on fire offensively.
Right.
You waited 3 or 4 years for them to get their feet wet, and then they did it. Since the Pacers aren't involved in that discussion, they're going to have to find one of these guys in the NBA that's an Eric Gordon-style player. I'm not saying Eric Gordon. Here's why. He gets hurt too much. But an Eric Gordon-style player. What does that mean? A guy that rolls out of bed and gets you 18 a night. He does that. That's what he does.
Right.
If you don't like Eric Gordon's career stats at 17-1 a game, that's your problem. That's what he does.
He's injured.
It's not sexy. He plays 60 games a year. It's not sexy. But those guys are out there. You're not going to find that immediate score in the draft that's going to immediately complement Paul George. You want to wait till Paul George's contract is up and this person comes up to take his place? That's another angle.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pacers, again, if they like where it's going, and they're going to have to know quickly, if they think one of those three or four guys is going to fall at 11, I think they sit there and take it. Is there anybody in this draft that you put all your coins in and move up for that's either one or two? No, they don't have a Boogie Cousins like Sacramento's talking to Los Angeles. Hey, we'll give you Cousins. We want the 2 pick because we want Okafor.
All right.
The Pacers have no hand in that negotiation. They have nothing to present.
I don't know what they have to
that.
Move up at all.
The
so
key is, again, Larry Bird, is this the grandest bluff there is? Is this the new Pacers? If it is, if you want to play up-tempo and score in the NBA, Larry, you got to find some guys.
Well, no kidding.
The good news Larry couldn't talk about before was he couldn't say, yeah, we got $29 million in cap space burning a hole in our pocket. Now he does.
Well,
that makes this all interesting.
That is interesting.
That's where it all comes back around.
Because he's jettisoned two of his top three salaries,
but
two of their top three players. Let's not forget that part.
This was the end of the
hold off on ordering your tickets, folks.
This was the I'd order them now if they get them at a good price because he has the ability to put some things together, but you got to get it right through the draft. Why? Not the premium destination for free agent targets, but a lot of guys in the league like George. He's been on that USA team, got a good reputation.
Willie Cauley-Stein, 8.5, 7, 9 points. Those are his first 3 years, scoring only 6 rebounds a game every year. So those are his stats at Kentucky, 23 minutes or more a game. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note again, right after the show, we got Reds baseball. They are in Pittsburgh. We'll be again tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, and then on Friday they'll be in New York to play the Mets, also 7 o'clock. So nice and easy, 7 o'clock the next three nights, including tonight for your Reds baseball. 333-2665 is the phone number. Pacers draft tomorrow night with the number 11 slot. The
George McLeod slot for all of you longtime suffering Pacer fans.
Well, David West has announced he will not. I guess as announced, the rumor is, but it's coming out at this point. He will not pick up his player option, so he is no longer an Indiana Pacer. Does have the option, I suppose, to re-sign with the Pacers, but that's pretty unlikely at this point. Roy Hibbert has a player's option and has not announced yet whether he will pick that up. We certainly speculate that he will not and will head on out of here. But again, remains to be seen at this point. But the talk between he and Larry Bird was that he was going to start becoming marginalized, probably can get some money elsewhere, you would think. But does he opt out? If he does, you lose Roy Hibbert and David West off your front line. Luis Scola is a free agent, unrestricted as far as I know, but he is a free agent at this point in time, so you really don't have much of a front court at this point. You've got a little bit of a back court, but even then you're looking at Paul George coming off injury. George Hill, who's he's a guard, but to me he's the three guy. He's not a guy who does any one thing wonderfully, so you know he doesn't fit in as your main point guard, so you can certainly look at a point guard. The other guy who's been tossed around a bit is Cameron Payne out of Murray State, a guy who can really run the show, run a lot of pick and roll, that sort of thing. That's not really George Hill's game. He's more a spot up guy on the offensive end. He'll hit the boards for you at guard. But do you look for a guy like that who can control things? Do you look like a guy like RJ Hunter or Sam Decker, who look to me like they're guys that are going to fill it up? And you mentioned scoring, and this is a scoring league. You see it. You want to play some defense, no question, but you got to fill it up. You got to put it in the basket.
Yep, no doubt about it. And the Pacers' priorities, that's what it's going to show you. If they want a guy that you have Hill and you have George, right? So immediately that guy has to be a three, or he's going to be a guy that's coming off the bench. It's going to be hard for the Pacers to slide, I think, Hill over there. If he's a natural point guard, yes, I think that could help the Pacers tremendously. I'm trying to think what would hurt the Pacers. It would hurt the Pacers to be getting a guy exactly like Paul George would hurt the Pacers. That's about it. Everything else is open for business.
Here's what would hurt him. Missing with a Tyler Hansbrough type.
Yeah.
Having Willie Cauley-Stein be a 14-point minute a night guy because he just can't do anything offensively for you and he's a liability.
Yep.
Not that he would be, but that would hurt them if that were the case.
And there's nothing that says they're going to take Cauley-Stein. That's been one of the guys that Bird's been high on, but we know that's all smoke and mirrors usually this time of year. Frank Kaminsky's around there. You won't hear any complaints from me. You know that guy can score. He showed you for 2 years and just about everybody. And all those big Arizona defensive teams we heard about, but no one saw during the year, and he just busted on them every single time they got together. All those guys that are top first-round draft picks that he just, which one? Yeah. I'll take you all to school. So that's interesting. But again, the polished offensive player with the free agent money they have would make the most sense to me. The guy that they need now is a front court guy. I don't know. I don't have what Bird has in front of me. And what I mean by that is I don't have the potential free agents. I don't have the other David Wests of the world who are opting out today or on Monday and say, hey, well, we've been in touch with them. We know this guy's going to opt out, so we're going to slide him in. He's going to come in here for $330, and we've got him for $10 million a year. Great. That gives us another $19 million to play with this year. We get two more players. So you can fill some spots quickly on that. So I don't think the Pacers are going to be in any kind of rigor mortis or rebuilding role here. I think they have the cash to move it. Can they get the pick right? Nobody knows that. So what do you have to do? Then you go with the best guy. That's the easiest solution on that. Or you trade it and you move it. If you think the draft's loaded and you can move down a couple spots where Cauley-Stein's going to fall and get you another first-round pick or get you another something, yeah, it's going to be fascinating. 7 o'clock tomorrow on ESPN, that's where all the action's going to be. Pacers pick 11 and 43. Don't hold your breath on 43. Second-round picks, they don't work it as well as they should. Who was the Pacers' first-round draft pick last year? Who was their first draft pick the year before that?
Solomon Hill last year.
And that's, again, they invested in a four-year kid from Arizona, and he spent most of the year in the D-League. And that's what the Pacers were struggling to find any kind of help. So I don't know if that guy's going to come back and help you. Maybe he's a late bloomer. The NBA business, man, is tough. You can get rich really quick bringing in guys on contract, and if those guys don't work out, go ask Phil Jackson and the Knicks how that's going.
Yeah,
go ask Prokhorov and the Nets how that's doing. This thing can boom and bust so quickly.
Oh, we saw that ourselves.
So
I mean, a couple injuries and a couple of guys that aren't living up to their contract, and the Pacers all of a sudden go from
Eastern
Conference Finals to
missing
the playoffs.
It's almost better to be Philadelphia or Milwaukee or one of these teams where they stink every year and they get 6, 5, 3, 8, and then after 4 years they look around and they're like, well, we're not too bad. We got a bunch of guys that have been around now, have some time, that can play. But your fan base doesn't put up with that. That's the other thing. And if the Pacers don't make any money at the gate, they told you they're not going over the luxury tax. It's a little bit different here in Indianapolis. Hit the draft right, see what falls in your lap. And if they move up, I don't even know who they would move up to go and get, because I don't think there's that one player outside of Towns and Okafor you just fall out of your chair for.
I mean, that's the point.
I love the Russell kid. I watch him destroy the Big Ten all year long. He's an awfully, awfully good player. Good size, can pass. Do you go all the way to 3 to get him? That's got to be a franchise-changing player to give up what they're going to have to give up, and they have to nail it. They've gotten Rick Smits at number 2 before. I believe Steve Stepanovich was number 2.
Yeah.
Chuck Person was 4 or 5. George McLeod was 11. We can go run the gamut here, folks.
Yeah, it's a long history of
It's a long history of real
drafts.
Good and real bad. Stepanovich is a great pro. He just wasn't any good and he got hurt. Clark Kellogg, you can throw on that list as well. That Reggie Miller guy worked out to be okay.
Danny Granger was 20 or something.
He
like
was
that,
until
19.
Yeah, it's a... Again, it's easy when you can pick the free agent market and you don't have to draft. That's what a lot of the big teams do. That's not what the Pacers do. They have to get the draft right. We'll see if they do it tomorrow.
We will see, and we will talk to you Monday, so tune back in then.
We will not be opting out of our contracts.
Well, there's still a whole weekend to go. We will see.
we don't have
We have no deadline. We'll be back Monday, so tune in then. And remember, we've got the Reds coming up here, 7 o'clock, so don't go anywhere. You've been in the zone.